Because us against them, we found our own reasons to sing. And it's so much less confusing when lines are drawn like that. When people are either consumers or revolutionaries, enemies or friends, hanging on the fringes of the cogs in the system. It's just about knowing where everyone stands. All of a sudden, people start talking about.
And welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and joining us now is MJ Rosenberg, who's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, focusing on foreign policy and Middle East affairs. He worked on Capitol Hill for various Democratic members of the House and Senate for 15 years. Previously, MJ Rosenberg served as the deputy director, the director of policy and analyst for the Israel Policy Forum, and was an editor for Near East Report, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee's APAC's biweekly publication on Middle East policy. Welcome to Background Briefing, MJ Rosenberg.
Thanks, Ian.
And this race in this New York congressional district that's in both Brooklyn and Queens, where there are three Democrats registered for every one Republican. A pro-Israel Orthodox Jew running on as a Democrat was defeated by an even more pro-Israel Republican TV producer of the Jerry Springer Show.
So, yeah, crazy.
Go figure.
This district is, I'm from the district, and it is totally unique. It's one of the least Democratic districts, if not the least Democratic district in the whole city of New York. It is, it's 40% Jewish, but of that 40%, a disproportionate number are Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox Jews or former Soviet Jews, Russian Jews. These people always vote, are Republican, and they have, they pretty much switched over when Giuliani was mayor, and they all like Giuliani, and they're very hard line on Israel. They're not typical of Jews anywhere. There's probably there's no other district like that in the country. I mean, there are segments of, sections of, West LA that are similar, but this is a large population that's very conservative. So, then you have them, and then you have the Republican himself is from the large Irish Catholic, a very conservative Irish Catholic enclave in the Rockaways, which is right on the beach. And they're usually Democrats, but they're Reagan Democrats. They're those kind of people who are uncomfortable with a lot of things. They vote Democrats because their parents did, but they're not real Democrats. The important thing to remember about these, both the Orthodox Jews and Roman Catholics, and that's pretty much most of the district, they didn't like the Democrats' stand in support of gay marriage. He's an Orthodox Jew, David Weprin, in the state legislature, but he voted against the Orthodox Jewish and Roman Catholic position in favor of Governor Cuomo's position in support of legalizing gay marriage. That counted for a lot. So there's Israel, there's gay marriage, and then you have the general, Obama's not real popular. So, the economy's bad. People don't necessarily understand why. It was an opportunity to vote against the way things are going now.
So speaking of Obama's lack of popularity, in 2008, he got 80% of the Jewish vote. And in a recent poll a month ago, it was down to 60%. Now,
right.
What about the Republican Jewish Coalition? They sent out these mailers, including one from Mayor Koch, a former mayor and a Democrat, talking about the Democratic candidate David Weprin. It might very well cause President Obama to change. Urging a vote against him, it might very well cause President Obama to change his hostile position on the state of Israel to reestablish the special relationship that presidents before him have supported. What is the evidence of Obama having a hostile relationship to Israel?
It's absolutely absurd. I mean, I have to say, as someone who's a big supporter of the two-state solution and for of a Palestinian state alongside Israel, I am totally disappointed, as most of my friends are, in the fact that Barack Obama has maintained the completely identical policy as George W. Bush. We're having that vote, there's going to be a vote in the UN, on the Palestinian state. He is going to, cast a no vote, isolating us from the rest of the world. I don't agree with Obama's policy on Israel. I think it's bad for Israel, bad for the Palestinians, and bad for the U.S., but I would characterize it as pretty hard right on Israel. This guy, Ed Koch always had problems with Obama. He's an 85-year-old, essentially he's a crotchety guy who's, I guess I can say this, he's never been particularly comfortable with African-Americans. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's not a big surprise he doesn't like Barack Obama. And as the guy has gotten older and older, he's become increasingly parochial, the whole world wants to kill the Jews. That's not really typical of most Jews. You know, when they show them, 78% of Jews voted for Obama. And maybe, in fact, his popularity is down to 60%. But has anyone said analyzed, and the answer is no, whether or not the numbers have dropped because Jews are disappointed by the fact that he isn't the kind of progressive they thought they were voting for? I mean, let's remember who this population is. The Jewish population is one of the few populations in the country, segments of the population in the country, that favors paying higher taxes for more social services, that's always out there for social issues, and many of them, in fact, most of the ones I know, I live in Chevy Chase, Maryland, which is a pretty, liberal, kind of posh suburb of Washington, D.C., lots of Jews here, and most of the people I know are disappointed in Obama, not because he's too far, because of Israel, but because they don't see him standing up for progressive values. Jews have always been the most progressive, among the most progressive people. If not, they're certainly the most progressive segment of the white population. So I'm not sure it's Israel at all. And in the New York Ninth, I just think it's an anomaly as a district.
Sure. Well, the guy, but it may well be that not just the weakness of the Democratic candidate David Weprin, but it seems like the Ackerman and the other guy whose district joins it sort of wanted this MOOC to run because he's going to be that district's going to be absorbed by them. They didn't want
to exactly. They picked him because they didn't want their district to be the one to disappear. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of they obviously didn't pick the strongest candidate. But I don't know. Right before the 2008 election, the American Jewish Committee did a poll. And there they do the most expensive and biggest poll that anyone does of a population survey of the Jewish community on what issues matters to Jews when they vote. And they happen to be a very conservative, very pro-Israel organization. When they analyzed, the findings were that only 3% of Jews, 3-4%, the exact number was 3-4% cast their votes based on Israel. Number one was the economy, and taxation was like 51%. Then came like the environment and all these other issues. And then number seven with 3-4% was Israel. So I mean, and that certainly goes along with the experience of I'm a Jew myself who cares about Israel and has been there many, many times. I don't know people who think that Barack Obama is anti-Israel, but then again, I'm not an Orthodox Jew or a Russian Jew. I'm much more typical of of American Jews. I just don't see it. Most American Jews do not think of Israel first when they vote. Even if they care deeply about Israel. We have never had an anti-Israel president. Mm-hmm. The policies of this country have been consistently pro-Israel. I mean, it's like a joke.
Right.
Calling an American president anti-Israel. Every one of them has backed policies that were pro-Israel. The Republicans want to use it to divide and conquer. It's not going to work. Obama may not be that popular among Jews, but it's not about Israel.
So you think the Republican Jewish Coalition, the idea that they might be able to peel off enough votes, you know, it's obviously going to be a close election, a presidential election. I don't think there's much doubt about that. So that's kind of a pipe dream. But
I don't know about 80-year-old voters in Florida.
Sure. Well, that's what they're counting on. They're moving down to Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, thinking that this strategy has just worked for them in New York. But of course, you know, your other point, just in closing, MJ, is that Obama is going to veto the Palestinian statehood. It's going to be a terrible, terrible for America's position around the world, but it's going to be good for him with the Jewish vote. At least
the thing is, those people on the Republican Jewish Coalition, the neocons, AIPAC, that whole crowd, will not give them any credit at all.
Sure.
They're just like the right on everything. No matter what he does, they will say he's anti. I mean, that's why I think he should do the right thing and support the resolution. He's not going to get these people's support anyway.
So,
you know, I live in a dream world, so forget it.
Well, thank you for joining us here, MJ.
Thanks, Ian. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with MJ Rosenberg, who is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, where he focuses on foreign policy and Middle East affairs. He worked on Capitol Hill for various Democratic members of the House and Senate for 15 years. Previously, he served as the director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum and was an editor of Near East Report, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC's biweekly publication on Middle East policy. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began with a specialist on Iran because the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, who is he's coming to the UN next week, and just before he left, he announced the release of two American hikers held captive, only to be overruled by the supreme leader. So clearly, this rebuke or humiliation indicates some kind of power struggle going on inside of the ruling elite. So we try to look into that and figure out what's going on there. And it's a sort of an odd situation because Ahmadinejad is a pretty dreadful guy, said some outrageous things. But compared to the supreme leader and the crazy, even crazier crazies than he is, they all believe in the hidden imam and, you know, this messianic interpretation of Shia Islam. Apparently the difference is that Ahmadinejad doesn't believe in the power of the clerics, that that individuals can be just as pious and they don't need to be told how pious they have to be by religious authorities. And this apparently plays well in Iran because of the enormous corruption associated with the clergy, who are just a bunch of parasites who've just replaced the Shah's cronies, moved into the same mansions, grabbed the same foundations, and living, off the fat of the land. So that's the game that's going on. But, of course, there's the third choice, which is the Green Movement, which the Iranian regime has been suppressing. And they're trying to claim some ownership of the Arab Spring. They're also very heavily invested in the Palestinian statehood issue, which, of course, the U.S. is going to come out looking bad on that one. Then we talked about the euro crisis, which we're just trying to find out, get some clarity on this thing, because obviously Greece is in default, and it's obvious that the Germans somehow think that they can have it both ways, in terms of being in the eurozone, that they have some kind of choice. And the longer that they dither, the worse it's going to get. So Matthias van Engo is just back from Geneva, where he'd been working for the UN Development Programme. He also pointed out the incredible irony that it's the developing economies of Brazil and China that are bailing out the Europeans and the Americans at the moment. So go figure. But he basically felt that they should let Greece go, it'd be worse to sort of continue the agony. But he's very skeptical that the Europeans can get their act together. And tomorrow, Friday, that is, they're supposed to, the foreign ministers meeting in Poland. And frankly, after that meeting, if nothing is resolved, and obviously it's not going to take, you can't overnight create a kind of European treasury. That's the disadvantage they have. They don't have a common, they have a common currency, but they don't have a common treasury and a common reserve like we have with the Federal Reserve. So this could end up, you know, being a trigger for not just a double dip recession, but a depression, which is really why I've been trying to stay on top of the story. Then finally, we did an analysis of this race in New York, where a pro-Israel Orthodox Jew was defeated in a safe Democratic seat by a pro-Israel Republican TV producer of the Jerry Springer Show. But MJ Rosenberg used to work for AIPAC, as a matter of fact, and a lot of congressmen. He said it really doesn't reflect anything on a national level, and that most Jews are fairly liberal and they don't vote about Israel. They vote about other things. And he thinks that the Republicans are kidding themselves, that they can win a lot of votes. But he also thinks that Obama, you know, should stand up to them and not kowtow to Israel, which, of course, is not going to happen. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. The headline.